Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, June 6, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Stocks rise around the world as we begin a new trading week.
Oil gains as Saudi Arabia raises prices in Asia more than expected.
President Biden takes executive action to boost the U.S. solar industry.
And UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson faces a key leadership vote.
It was a deadly weekend of shootings as U.S. senators work on gun reform. Plus, primary elections take place in 7 states tomorrow, including New Jersey. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A late goal lifted Tampa Bay over the Rangers. The Warriors beat the Celtics. Wins for the Mets and Yankees.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Informatica. In the cloud, your data has the power to do the extraordinary. Manage data across any location in the cloud for accurate and actionable insights. More at Informatica.com.
And U.S. futures are higher this morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 47 points. Dow futures up 281. NASDAQ futures up 190. 10-year Treasury down 7/32nds. Yield 2.95%. And the yield on the 2-year, 2.68%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, we are seeing a lift in markets as we begin a new trading week, helping to boost sentiment in Asia. Beijing reopening further from its COVID restrictions. Let's get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Japanese equities erased earlier losses and tech shares rose in Hong Kong following the long weekend. This after a gauge of Chinese companies traded in the U.S. had risen 2% over the 2 trading sessions that Hong Kong had been closed. Stocks in mainland China advanced as Beijing eased back COVID-19 restrictions, also lifting the onshore yuan. Australian stocks fell, bucking the trend ahead of an expected second consecutive interest rate increase Tuesday, while Swiss bank UBS said buying the Aussie dollar is a phenomenal trade. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Well, oil is also on the rise this morning, approaching $120 a barrel. Saudi Arabia is signaling confidence in demand for oil. The kingdom raised prices more than expected for Asian customers. And we get more from Bloomberg Markets live editor Heather Burke.
Saudi Arabia has signaled confidence with the demand with this bigger than expected price increase of its crude for Asia. And overall, we're seeing improving demand picture. We're heading into peak summer driving season. And also in China, which is the top crude buyer, they continue to ease COVID restrictions, which should also help the demand side of oil.
And Bloomberg Markets Live editor Heather Burke says oil has rallied almost 60% this year. Checking prices right now, NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 33 cents at $119.21 a barrel. Brent is up 0.2%. It's at $119.92.
Well, oil has certainly been a major factor in the rise of inflation, Karen. And now President Biden's Commerce Chief Gina Raimondo says it may make sense to lift tariffs on some imported products to help ease higher prices.
Steel and aluminum, we've decided to keep some of those tariffs because we need to protect American workers and we need to protect our steel industry. That's a matter of national security. There are other products, household goods, bicycles, et cetera, and it may make sense.
Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo made the comments on CNN over the weekend.
Wall Street is bracing for a key report on inflation. We get the story from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
The Labor Department will issue May's Consumer Price Index on Friday. Economists say the year-over-year inflation rate will continue near historic levels, topping 8%. A major driver in May, record petroleum costs, in addition to the sustained run-up in other household staples. Also on this week's data agenda, University of Michigan figures on consumer sentiment. Sentiment has been running low as the cost of living runs high. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. We're getting new word from Goldman Sachs that the U.S. economy remains on a narrow path to a soft landing. Let's get more on that live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Goldman says improving inflation numbers and other factors suggest that the Fed may be able to pull off its aggressive rate hike plan without tipping the country into a recession. Goldman economists say sequential core inflation appears to be slowing and pressures on the supply chain are improving. improving, even as signs of softening in the job markets emerge. Now, the economists say while the deterioration in indicators like the first quarter's GDP contraction suggest near-term recession risk has increased, other measures show output is still expanding. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. At least a half of a dozen central banks are expected to raise interest rates this week. Meanwhile, the European Central Bank is predicted to finally join the global tightening bandwagon, with policymakers on Thursday expected to announce an end to bond purchases and formally begin the countdown to an increase in borrowing costs in July.
In Europe, Karen, the future of Boris Johnson is in focus as he faces a leadership vote in his ruling Conservative Party. Let's go live to London and get the very latest on that with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. After months of speculation at 8 a.m. outside the British Houses of Parliament, it was announced that the Prime Minister is to face a vote of confidence in his leadership. This after more than 15% of lawmakers from Boris Johnson's own Conservative Party called for the vote. The PM's been under fire for a series of illegal gatherings at Downing Street during the COVID lockdowns. The vote on Johnson's future will conclude at 8 p.m. London time, and he needs the support of at least half of lawmakers to keep his position. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Back here in the U.S., President Biden will take executive action to boost the U.S. solar industry. Bloomberg's Amy Morris has details from our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Sources tell Bloomberg News the president plans to invoke the Defense Production Act to provide support for U.S.-made solar panels while announcing a two-year halt on new solar tariffs. Now, that would allow domestic developers to use the foreign equipment while U.S. manufacturing ramps up. The White House is also set to use the federal government's purchasing power to help support American clean energy manufacturers. The announcement could come as early as today. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thanks. And finally, Starbucks is looking at external candidates only for its next CEO. That's according to interim chief executive Howard Schultz. He tells the Wall Street Journal the coffee chain needs to add new talent and skills to its leadership ranks. Schultz is in his third stint running Starbucks, but he says he is not a candidate for the full-time job. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 64 degrees in Central Park. Still got some lingering road construction eastbound 280 by exit 7 in West Orange. We'll get the details on that for you in traffic shortly. Michael Barr is here first with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A deadly weekend of shootings in the U.S. and several states left about a dozen people dead. In Philadelphia, three people were killed and 11 wounded in a shooting. Philadelphia Police Commissioner Danielle Outlaw says they are looking for the shooter who fled on foot.
We're working with our local, state, and federal partners to make sure that no lead is lost and that no stone remains unturned.
Commissioner Outlaw says authorities are offering a $20,000 reward for information leading to the arrest of the shooter. A shooting near a Chattanooga nightclub left three dead. Police say 14 were shot and three others were hit by vehicles. Chattanooga Mayor Tim Kelly.
I've been an avid hunter and a marksman all my life, and I want to say clearly, I fully support responsible gun ownership. But Congress needs to do their jobs and pass common sense regulations that will help stop this nonsense.
Mayor Kelly implored parents to keep track of their children, especially if they are suspect to carrying a gun. Meanwhile, a bipartisan group of U.S. senators say gun talks are inching forward, though a deal is far from assured. Officials fear more than 50 people were killed in southwestern Nigeria when gunmen burst into a Catholic church during mass, opening fire and detonating explosives. So far, no one has claimed responsibility. Primary elections in New Jersey and six other states will take place tomorrow. It will set the stage for U.S. House and Senate battles this fall that will play into control of Congress. Many contests are being shaped by political divisions in both major parties and the shadow of former President Donald Trump. In New Jersey's GOP primary, Tom Malinowski won by fewer than 2 percentage points in 2020, and his district has become slightly more Republican since new congressional district lines were set last year. The U.S. and South Korea launched 8 missiles in response to North Korea. Yesterday, the North Test fired 8 missiles. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stasher.
Good morning, Nathan. Rangers fans probably do not realistically expect a series sweep of Tampa Bay, although it likely entered their minds when the Rangers scored two power play goals in the second period and led game 3-2-0. But the Lightning came back, two power play goals of their own, and then in the final minute, the first and only 5-on-5 goal of the game.
Stamkos shoots, save made by Shesterkin. Rebound to Chernak, right point. Left point, Hedman. Across a speed. Pullout! Pullout!
Wow. Andre Pullout! Yes, WFLA in Tampa. Lightning won 3-2. Rangers now lead the series 2-1. Game 4 tomorrow. Sexton. Game 2 of the NBA Finals. Warriors dominated the third quarter. That was the difference. They beat the Celtics 107-88 to tie the series at 1. Quinn Snyder resigned after 8 years as the coach of the Utah Jazz. Mets in L.A. trailed early, scored 3 runs in the 8th inning. Were 1 out from victory, bottom of the 9th, with the Dodgers tied the game. Mets still won 5-4 in 10, so they gained a split of the 4-game set after they dropped the first two. They play tonight in San Diego. Yankees are off. They, like the Mets, also won 5-4, 10 innings after Detroit tied the game in the 8th. A Josh Donaldson sack fly in the 10th, and the Yanks sweep the 6-game homestand a third of the way through the season. Yankees are 39-15. It's the best record any MLB team has had at this point in the last 21 years. Make it 14 French Open titles for Rafael Nadal, 22 Grand Slams. That's two more than Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic. Billy Orschel won the Memorial Golf in Ohio by 4 shots. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. So after ending last week with losses, futures are pointing to gains as we kick off a new trading week dominated by inflation readings. Right now, S&P futures are up 45 points. Dow futures up 272. NASDAQ futures are higher by 185 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 6/32. The yield, 2.95%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.68. NYMEX crude is higher by 0.3%, 42 cents higher at $119.26 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.2% at $18.54.10 an ounce. We'll get you set for the new trading week next. Dennis Gartman, the former publisher of the Gartman Letter, is with us in just a few minutes. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Lots of sunshine today with a high near 80 degrees. Upper 70s and partly sunny tomorrow. Showers and storms likely Wednesday with highs in the upper 70s. Right now, 64 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe are gaining along with U.S. stock index futures as Beijing further eases COVID restrictions, helping to soothe a fragile mood amid inflation and rate hike concerns. Treasuries and the dollar slipping. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures up 45 points, Dow futures up 275, NASDAQ futures up 177. The DAX in Germany is up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 2.95%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.68%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 41 cents at $119.29 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25% or $4.70 at $18.54.90 an ounce. The euro 1.0748 against the dollar. British pound 1.2571 and the yen 130.73. And Bitcoin this morning up 5% at $31,400. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Boris Johnson could be ousted as Britain's prime minister. He's facing a no-confidence vote in his Conservative Party after he had rule-breaking parties during the COVID lockdown. Lawmakers in Washington say they're more hopeful than ever that bipartisan negotiations on gun reform will finally get somewhere. Meanwhile, there were several mass shootings over the weekend. The Warriors even the NBA Finals at a game apiece after beating the Celtics. In Game 3 of the NHL East Final, the Rangers lost to the Lightning 3-2. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets won. The Red Sox beat the A's. The Orioles lost. The Nationals and Giants won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street. Live. live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak as we get ready to kick off another trading week. We are joined this morning for the hour by Dennis Gartman, chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee, former publisher of the Gartman Letter. Dennis, it's always great to speak with you. We are seeing a rally for equities around the world on China dialing back some of its COVID restrictions. Does that give you confidence in this market?
Not particularly. I mean, we are seeing some strength this morning. It's rather surprising to me, to be quite honest, and for the first time in quite some period of time, for my own account, I actually went marginally, and I mean marginally, net short on Friday. We'll see if that works. Right now, I'm behind just a tad, and I mean just a tad, and predicated upon the fact that China is, in fact, reducing its restrictions, which is long overdue. They should have done this quite some period of time ago, so You're getting a rebound in stock prices around the world predicated upon Chinese easing their restrictions. I think it's a little overdone. We'll see. Right now, as I said, I'm marginally net short, and I mean marginally so. So let's see how that works.
What makes you think that it's overdone at this point? I mean, isn't that the idea that China could be dialing back restrictions could have some implications for the supply chain down the road?
Well, let's hope. And obviously, if I'm wrong, that'll be the reason why I'm wrong. There's clearly the supply chain is doing a little bit better. To look at the number of tankers that are and ships that are outside of Long Beach here in Southern Virginia, the number of ships that are outside our harbor have been reduced. So the supply chain is the problems incumbent in the supply chain that have been so pervasive over the course of the past 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months, a year and a half or so are being alleviated. And let us hope that and I would hope that the lifting of restrictions in China would be long-term amenable to economic activity. We'll see. Time shall tell. But as I said, I'm marginally net short, and right now to be quite honest, I'm wrong for the day.
All right. Well, we also got some insight from Goldman Sachs strategist saying that they see a narrow path for the Fed to avoid a recession, but while raising interest rates, a narrow path for a soft landing. What's your view on the impact of Fed tightening on this economy going forward?
I think that it's important to understand that we're going to have at least 350 basis point increases. The president of the Cleveland Fed, who has been one of the most bearish members of the voting members of the FOMC, said that she expects to see 50 basis points through the September meeting. It's clear that they're tightening, but I think what's far more important, raising the overnight Fed funds rate, is what they do to the balance sheet. We'll see what on Friday. I think we get a report on the size of the Fed's balance sheet again. We'll see if they're allowing the balance sheet to run off. They need to. The fact that they've taken the balance sheet from what $900 billion to $9 trillion in the course of a decade, that to me is far more important than the level of interest rates or the overnight Fed funds rate. We'll see if they're allowing balance sheet to run off. Hopefully they are. They've got years that they have to accomplish this task, and it's going to take a long period of time. They're taking money out of the system that had been flooding in the system for the past decade. I think that's the major reason why stock prices have been as strong as they have been for the past several years, and the fact that they're taking that fuel away, to me, is bearish in the long run for the stock market. So we'll see. Time shall tell.
So where are you looking for bond yields to go as the Fed does start to unwind the balance sheet?
Probably marginally higher. We might get the 10-year, which is what now, 2.95 on the 10-year. We might go to 3.50 over the course of the next 2 years or so. I doubt that we'll go much beyond that. I think what's really more important is what happens to the very short end of the curve. We actually have fives above tens for the first time. They're basically at parity, but the five-year for a couple of hours on Friday traded through the 10-year. We'll see if that inversion continues. Everybody's watching twos versus tens. I watch five versus tens, and the fact that the curve is inverted a tad is, to me, that's important. Inverted yield curves are never beneficial, always detrimental, always harbingers of recession, and I think that we're going to get a modest recession. I think we're actually going to be in it by the third quarter of this year. So we'll see. Time shall tell again.
All right. Dennis Gartman with us for the full hour here on Bloomberg Daybreak. We're going to get more thoughts from Dennis, especially on the path for inflation as we look ahead to the release of the May Consumer Price Index coming out later on this week, actually on Friday, and what that could mean potentially for Federal Reserve policy. So looking forward to checking back in with Dennis Gartman, former publisher of the Gartman Letter, now the chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee, as Bloomberg Daybreak continues here on this Monday morning, where we're seeing futures on the rise on China dialing back some of those COVID restrictions. We have S&P futures right now up 44 points, a gain of 1.1%. Dow futures up 271. NASDAQ futures leading the gains this morning. They're higher by 178 points. That is a gain of 1.4%. Right now, the 10-year Treasury is down 7/32, the yield 2.96%, and the yield on the two-year 2.68%. Just ahead, the Biden administration opens the door to lifting some tariffs, and more on Goldman Sachs' idea of a narrow path to a soft landing. Top stories of the morning just ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, lots of sunshine to start off the week with a high near 80 degrees. It'll be partly sunny, upper 70s tomorrow. Showers and storms likely by Wednesday with highs in the upper 70s. Currently 64 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We're seeing a lift in markets to begin a new trading week with a boost from Asia. Beijing is reopening further from its COVID restrictions, raising stocks in China. Japanese equities erased earlier losses and tech shares rose in Hong Kong.
We're also watching oil rise this morning, Karen, hovering around $120 a barrel as Saudi Arabia signals confidence in demand for oil. Checking prices now, West Texas Intermediate's up 0.4% or 51 cents at $119.38 a barrel. Brent is up 0.4% at $120.21.
Well, turning to Washington now, President Biden's Commerce Chief Gina Raimondo says the administration is not willing to lift all tariffs on imported steel and aluminum right now.
We've decided to keep some of those tariffs because we need to protect American workers and we need to protect our steel industry. That's a matter of national security.
Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo told CNN over the weekend that lifting tariffs on other household goods may make sense to help ease rising prices.
Well, as the Fed aims to ease price hikes, Karen, Goldman Sachs says the U.S. economy remains on a narrow path to a soft landing. Let's get more on that live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Goldman says improving inflation numbers and other factors suggest that the Fed may be able to pull off its aggressive rate hike plan without tipping the country into a recession. Economists there say sequential core inflation appears to be slowing and supply chain pressures are improving. Now, while the deterioration in indicators like the first quarter's GDP suggest near-term recession risk has increased, Goldman says other measures show output is still expanding. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. At least a half a dozen central banks are expected to raise interest rates this week. And the European Central Bank is expected to announce an end to bond purchases and formally begin the countdown to an increase in borrowing costs in July.
Staying in Europe, Karen, Boris Johnson faces a leadership vote today in his ruling Conservative Party that could remove him from office. It's unclear if there is enough support, though, to unseat the UK's prime minister.
And futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 42 points. Dow futures up 258. NASDAQ futures up 173. 10-year Treasury down 6/32. Yield 2.95%. The yield on the two-year, 2.68%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% at $119.39 a barrel. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's Karen, 5:33 on Wall Street, 64 degrees in Central Park. Got a crash in the northbound van wake by Jamaica Avenue. And Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. It has been a weekend of shootings in several states that have left about a dozen people dead. One shooting in Philadelphia left three dead and another 11 injured. Philadelphia Police Commissioner Danielle Outlaw.
These incidents have an exponential effect on our community. And it not only impacts the individual that's been directly victimized, but it victimizes their loved ones, their families, and their neighbors, neighborhoods all over the world.
Commissioner Outlaw says the suspect fled on foot. Meanwhile, there are some reports that U.S. senators are inching towards some kind of compromise and movement on gun safety. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
A bipartisan group is working, and Republican Pat Toomey says background checks are on the table.
At least for commercial sales of firearms, there ought to be a background check. So sales at gun shows, sales that are advertised over the Internet.
Toomey has been working with Democrat Joe Manchin for years on this, and Toomey on CBS is heard here on Bloomberg says the outcome of these talks is still uncertain.
We are still trying to figure out exactly what mechanism is going to enable us to get the votes that we would need.
But he says closer this time. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Primary elections in New Jersey and six other states tomorrow will set the stage for U.S. House and Senate battles this fall. In New Jersey's GOP primary, Tom Malachowski won by fewer than 2 percentage points in 2020, and his district has become slightly more Republican since new congressional district lines were set last year. After North Korea test-fired 8 short-range ballistic missiles Sunday, the U.S. launched a joint exercise with South Korea and Japan to demonstrate their ability to quickly respond. Today, the U.S. military conducted what it called a ballistic missile defense exercise, also firing 8 missiles into the Sea of Japan. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshaw.
All right, Nathan, Rangers went to Tampa Bay, having won their last 4 playoff games, 6 of the last 7, and they had a lead in Game 3. Yet another power play goal from Mika Zibanejad. Shortly after that, Chris Kreider with a man advantage put in the rebound of a Zibanejad shot. But Tampa Bay got power play goals from Nikita Kucherov, second period, Steven Stamkos in the third. The Lightning dominated the third period. Big edge in shots on goal, and they won 3-2 on an Andre Palat goal off a nifty pass from Kucherov, only 42 seconds remaining. Rangers still lead the series 2-1, Game 4 tomorrow. NBA Finals now tied at 1. Golden State beat Boston 107-88, outscored the Celtics in the third quarter 35-14. Yankees going for a sweep of the homestand, back-and-forth game with the Tigers, 4-4, 10th inning.
And swung on, there it goes. Deep left field, that's going to win the game. Harold Castro back, and he made the catch on the warning track, tagging his judge. He scores. Ball game over. Yankees win.
And WFAN, they've been doing a lot of that. A Yankee record of 39-15, a third of the way through the season. That's the best in baseball since 2001. Mets also won 5-4, also in 10 innings after the Dodgers tied the game with 2 in the bottom of the ninth off Seth Lugo, a J.D. Davis double in the 10th, and the Mets get a split of the 4-game series, and then moved down to San Diego now. When Pete Sampras retired from tennis not that long ago, he had the record for most Grand Slams won with 14. Rafael Nadal has won 14 French Opens, 22 slams, straight sets in the final in Paris. Billy Horschel won the Memorial Golf in Ohio by 4 shots. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
According to AAA, the average price for a gallon of gas in New York State is currently $4.88 a gallon. That's down 5 cents from last week thanks to the suspension of certain gas taxes last Wednesday. Hudson Piers on Yonkers waterfront could see its first residents within 2 years. 6 buildings with 1,400 apartments and about 40,000 square feet of retail will fill in one of the last gaps in the Yonkers skyline along the Hudson. Construction began last month, and the first 2 buildings is part of Extel's $585 million development. Offering list price for a home in some New Jersey communities isn't enough. Homes in New Jersey in April were selling statewide for 104% of asking price, according to the most recent data from New Jersey Realtors. In April of 2021, they were selling for 101% of list price. In April 2020, it was 98%. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thank you, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
Steve Podisk on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about Goldman Sachs economists betting the economy could avoid a recession.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Americans are worse to personnel than they were before the pandemic.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm talking about a published report saying that one of Grubhub's co-founders was looking at buying back the Chicago-based food delivery company from Just Eat Takeaway.
I'm Stephen Carroll on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the leadership challenge facing Boris Johnson. Conservative MPs will vote later in a move which could topple the Prime Minister.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting signs and lighting for a new Sherwin-Williams headquarters in downtown Cleveland have been approved.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Euro area inflation surged to 8.1% in the year to May, once again higher than expected. But despite signs that inflation is getting entrenched, the European Central Bank has chosen to stand pat. It hasn't yet raised its policy interest rate, which stands at minus 0.5%, and its signaling suggests the first increase will be just a quarter of a point, coming in the latter half of July. With inflation above 8%, a policy rate that's less than zero in nominal terms maintains an extraordinarily reckless level of extra demand. Too much stimulus applied for too long adds to the danger of a violent correction later. The ECB's caution until now has been understandable, but the balance of risk has shifted. The central bank should start a deliberate effort to normalize policy, beginning with an increase of 50 basis points this week, not next month. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Right now, S&P futures are higher by 38 points. Dow futures up 228. NASDAQ futures up 157 points. 10-year Treasury yield, 2.95%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine to start the week. A high near 80 degrees today, partly sunny, upper 70s tomorrow. Some showers and storms for Wednesday with highs in the upper 70s. Currently 64 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Informatica. In the cloud, your data has the power to do the extraordinary. Manage data across any location in the cloud for accurate and actionable insights. More at Informatica.com. Stocks in Europe are gaining along with U.S. stock index futures as Beijing further eases COVID restrictions. Check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 39 points. Dow futures up 237 and NASDAQ futures up 157. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32nds, yield 2.95%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.67%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 84 cents at $119.72 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $5.20 at $18.55.50 an ounce. The euro 1.0743 against the dollar, British pound 1.2561, and the yen 130.69. Bitcoin this morning is higher, up almost 5% at $31,390. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A possible turning point on gun control. After a weekend of mass shootings, U.S. lawmakers say they're more hopeful than ever that bipartisan negotiations will finally get somewhere. Boris Johnson could be ousted tonight as Britain's prime minister. He's facing a no-confidence vote in his Conservative Party after revelations he broke COVID lockdown rules. The Warriors even the NBA Finals at a game apiece after beating the Celtics. In Game 3 of the NHL East Final, the Rangers lost to the Lightning 3-2. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets won. The Red Sox beat the A's. The Orioles lost. The Nationals and Giants won. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's just about 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And Dennis Gartman is back with us now, chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee and former publisher of the Gartman Letter. Dennis, when we spoke the last half hour, you said that you feel that the gains we're seeing in equities this morning may be overdone. For those listeners who may have just joined us, can you explain why?
Well, I think that we've seen a good from the lows a couple of weeks ago. We had I hate to bring up a rival, but the CNN Fear and Greed Index got to 6, which historically you get a bounce from the markets when you get that egregiously oversold. And we're just bouncing. I think this is a bear market. I think the bear market began January 5th of this year, and I think that the market's going to last for quite some period of time. I think we're just getting a nice bear market bounce and nothing more than that. Perhaps I'm a bit early. We'll see. Time shall tell. But as I said earlier this morning, I went marginally net short for my own account on Friday, and I mean marginally, just 3 or 4% of my position. So that's a marginal position to be taken at this point. But I think it's just a regular come-as-you-are bear market bounce, nothing more than that, and I don't think it shall last very long. We'll see. Time shall tell.
We have more inflation data coming out later on this week. Yes. The Consumer Price Index for the month of May is due out on Friday. What is your expectation there? Could we see signs of peak inflation in that print?
It is very possible. Take a look at what's going on in the grain markets. The grains have been very bullish, going from the lower left to the upper right because of delayed planting prospects and because of the problems incumbent with the inability to get the grain out of Ukraine and out of Russia. But I think what we're seeing now, the grain market has turned from being overly bullish to being manifestly bearish at this point. The crops are getting here, being put in the ground relatively quickly here in the United States and are growing very well. Same circumstance in Canada. So I think we're seeing a turnaround in the grain markets. Gold doesn't seem to want to rally much anymore. I'm still bullish of the gold market, but it doesn't put together much of a sustained rally. And we'll see today is going to be, I think, a very important day in crude oil because we traded the nearby futures, WTI, above 120. We're just barely holding above 120 right now. And if crude oil were to close lower on the day-to-day, that would be very interesting to me. I think it would be a telltale sign that perhaps, the operative word here is perhaps, inflation. We may have the worst numbers in inflation for a period of time. Well, time shall tell. We'll see. But keep an eye today on what goes on in the crude oil market. But the grain markets have turned from being manifestly bullish to being, I think, overtly bearish. And even livestock prices have turned down. So keep an eye on those things. I think inflationary problems are probably, let's hope, are well behind us.
In our last half hour, you mentioned that you think the Fed is going to continue with 50 basis point rate hikes at least the next meetings. If we do start to see some moderation in commodities prices, does that affect the Fed's path in the months to come?
We'll see. There's still a group within the FOMC that believes in the transitory nature of inflation. We'll see if that happens. But right now, given the fact that Ms. Metzer, the president of the Cleveland Fed, announced on Friday that she sees at least 3 more raises of the overnight Fed funds rate by 50 basis points each. I think that that's a telltale sign. We're going to take the overnight Fed funds rate another 150 basis points higher before they have a rethink of that circumstance. Keep an eye on what goes on the balance sheet. To me, that's more important than the overnight Fed funds rate, and we'll get an idea what the Fed is doing to the balance sheet when they report that number on Friday afternoon.
Just about 30 seconds left here. Dennis, what's your read on whether the Fed can pull off a soft landing? Goldman Sachs says it sees a narrow path.
I think Goldman Sachs is wiser than I am. The Fed has had a problem in the past trying to land the economy on the aircraft carrier of economic circumstances. Getting a soft landing is always difficult. I have my doubts as to whether it can be accomplished.
As always, Dennis, great to have you on with us. Thanks for being here. Dennis Gartman, the former publisher of the Gartman Letter, now the chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. We get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The EPA set limits on the amount of 5 solvents that workers can inhale before they start facing health risks. 2 federal appeals courts ruled that Berkshire Hathaway, Nationwide Mutual, and Greater New York Insurance Companies do not have to cover businesses' pandemic-related losses because there was no property damage. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration is proposing more than $500,000 in combined penalties against Dollar General. OSHA says inspectors found blocked exits at stores in Ohio and Wisconsin.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching. The Supreme Court is heading into the home stretch of the term with more than half of its work incomplete and blockbuster opinions on abortion and gun rights coming, as well as decisions on immigration and religious rights. This backlog of cases is the biggest in percentage terms since at least 1950, according to empiricalscotus.com. Founder Adam Feldman. It comes as the justices and their law clerks are dealing with an investigation into the leak of a draft opinion overturning Roe v. Wade abortion rights ruling. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Kimberly Strawbridge Robinson, Bloomberg Law Supreme Court reporter.
Kimberly, at this point, the justices have 33 decisions outstanding. That's more than they've issued this whole term. Is this unusual?
Well, it is and it isn't. So it's not unusual for the court to kind of backload its work with opinions. You know, that makes a lot of sense. In the beginning of the term, the justices are also hearing oral arguments in cases. There's a lot of prep for those arguments to happen. And then they stop doing that around April and focus totally on opinions. So we do tend to get a lot of the opinions in June, specifically as the court tries to hit this kind of informal deadline at the end of June to knock out all of its opinions. But it's unusual in the sense to have so many. We could see that the Supreme Court was already working pretty slowly before we got that unprecedented leak of an abortion ruling. But since then, it's been going even more slowly. So it is unusual to have 33 cases left for the justices to get out. And it is a pretty heavy list. Maybe we won't be hitting that informal deadline this year.
Since the majority opinions are sort of spread out evenly among the justices, Supreme Court watchers watch which justice has written opinions and how many to determine who's left. So what have you found out?
Right. This is one of those things that we're forced to do because Supreme Court is, you know, it's such a secretive institution, the leak notwithstanding. But yeah, so typically we see justices try to even out the opinions, spread them across each of the argument sittings. And so we can kind of get an idea of who we're expecting the most opinions from. Right now, Chief Justice Roberts and Kagan have written the most opinions. They've written four of the six or seven that we expect to see. But some of the other justices have a lot more work to do. Thomas, Alito, Kavanaugh, you know, they've only written two, so they're not even halfway done with their work. Of course, we know Justice Alito from that leak is probably writing the majority opinion in that big abortion case. But who's writing what else? We'll get a better clue as more opinions kind of trickle in and we can play this process with elimination.
And as Kimberly Strawbridge Robinson, a Bloomberg Law Supreme Court reporter, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso, catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. Futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures are up 40 points, Dow futures up 246, and NASDAQ futures up 157, 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 2.96%, and the yield on the two-year, 2.68%. The euro, 1.0742 against the dollar. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.